Our scripture reading today is from Luke 8, 40 through 42. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. And when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. Then in Luke 8, 49 through 56, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I had a wonderful reminder of something at 4:38 this morning, and let me know by my description here if you can figure out what happened. But I was woken to a beep, beep. What is it?
Smoke alarm.
Yeah, you know, you should change those batteries out every once in a while. And you can avoid that. And so I changed one and thought, okay, good. Beep. Well, it was actually the one on the other side of the door frame. And so I changed that one out, and then I was able to somewhat go back to sleep. So yeah, if I start to kind of, I don't think I'm gonna nod off because I always have a special kind of adrenaline when I get up here, but that's what was going on in my house at 4:30 this morning. Now, maybe some of y'all knew this. This is not news to many of you, but did you know that there are many resurrection stories in the Bible? There's actually quite a few resurrection stories. Easter is a special time, because we talk about the resurrection story around the risen Jesus Christ, and why that's special and unique to us, that specific resurrection story. But why stop with one resurrection story when I can tell two, right? Like I can tell another one. After all, resurrection is why Christianity exists. That is why we're here today. The church doesn't exist around the power of the cross primarily. Like if it was just the cross, if he had just been crucified, probably not. Dying on crosses was really commonplace in Jesus' day. Around 71 BC, Rome crucified 6,000 rebels who had been led by Spartacus, if you're familiar with that name. And those crosses, they lined the road from Rome to Capua. 6,000 crosses. They sacrificed people on. And so the church doesn't exist around the power and exclusivity of the cross, the event of the cross, because it was very common. Rome killed thousands of people on crosses, but only one came back to life 3 days later. Only one. And so the thing that empowers the cross is indeed the resurrection. That's what gives it its power. And so Christianity is a religion founded on resurrection power. Resurrection power. So today I want to encourage you to tap into resurrection power. That you would know resurrection power in your life. I don't know what challenges or fears are with you this morning. But I want to assure you of one thing today. Resurrection power wins the day. Amen? You may be experiencing hopelessness today, but I'm about to drop the hope of the resurrection on you, okay? And so what I want you to know is joy is on the way. Hope is around the corner. Faith is on the other side of the door, and it's going to come in if you let it. Sometimes we just need a reminder that we have access to resurrection power. We just need a reminder. So I'm dropping the reminder on you today. Because we know the one who not only rose from the tomb, but helped others experience resurrection power is in our lives today. Hopefully in our lives. And so our scripture lesson today is about a little girl, and she came back from the dead. She was resurrected from the dead. And so as I preach about her story, I want to share with you three ways that we need resurrection power in our lives through Jesus. We need resurrection power in our church, we need it in our lives, and we need it in our souls, deeply embedded in our souls, that resurrection power. So First United Methodist Church needs to tap into resurrection power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ here, right? Our scripture lesson begins today by telling us about a man named Jairus. Who is this man? Who is he? Well, he is a synagogue leader in Galilee. That's who he is. The synagogue leader was responsible for the administration of the synagogue and community worship. That was his role, and he likely oversaw a great deal in that position. Jairus goes to Jesus, he throws himself at his feet, and he begs him to come and heal his daughter. Please heal my daughter. Now, I need you to stop and think for a moment about Jesus' relationship to religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, the likes. Would you say that in the Gospels, most of Jesus' interactions with Jewish religious leaders are by and large more positive or negative? Negative. Most of the time, he does not seem to get along well with them. And yet, here is one example of a Jewish religious leader coming to Jesus and asking him for help. Actually, begging him for help. Begging him to help. Because, why? Well, because his 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, is dying of sickness. She's dying. Church, it's very important that we worship and administrate our church as those who are well connected to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Jairus was different from others, but why? Why was he different? Well, because he was desperate. He was desperate. Desperate for a solution for his daughter, to save his daughter. You know, it's funny how as churches we can get stuck in religious patterns. As if religious patterns can save us. As if those patterns are the same things in our lives. But what is, and that's absolutely bizarre about the nature of religion, but that is the nature of religion. That is kind of what we tend to do. It all begins as something that expects a powerful experience with God. We would connect to the living God. That somebody at some time connected to the living God. But then eventually, we replace an expectation in a meeting with that living God with ritual, repentant ritual. On Sunday mornings, you can expect to see some changes from time to time. There's things can be a little bit different. And so this morning, we opened with a worship video. I don't know if I've ever been in a church that's done that. For me, this is new. This is new for me, right? I know it's different for everyone to do something like this. I would prefer, you know, a three-piece band up here at least, some vocalists. But we are able to do what we are able to do. We are who we are. And so we're going to utilize videos while we pray our way to more instrumentalists, more vocalists. We're kind of on the lookout for a guitarist right now. I kind of asked her, what do you all think about adding another instrument? And so we would add a guitar. So if you know somebody that plays guitar, you might want to let us know because we're looking, right? We are going to begin to enter into a kind of a blended worship experience here. Finding new and creative ways to bring together the old and the new, because you could do that today. We can do that. Lots of churches do that. And as we step out in a little new, a little uncomfortable direction, we know that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is here and helping us and aiding us. Because I hope we are all desperate to see decline stop in our church. I mean, I think we're there, right? We're desperate to see Jesus do a miraculous thing here and turn lives around and meet people in this space in amazing, miraculous ways. And our religious patterns are comforting. They are. Like, I'll be the first to admit that. I need that comforting sometimes, that experience that those religious patterns can give. But more than our need to be comforted is our need to experience resurrection power. That's what we need, to connect to the source. And when we experience resurrection power, then you have mighty faith. And mighty faith overcomes all fear when you have that absolute faithfulness. Friends, the sanctuary, this place is the heart of our church. It's the heart of our church, and worship is the blood that beats through our veins, the veins of our church. And we now have a team of people who are working together to figure out the future of our worship experience here at First United Methodist Church, taking little steps, hopefully someday ends in two services, not one, right? And our goal is to get the blood pumping and moving in order to inspire new families to come and serve the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, to tap into that resurrection power in their own lives for the sake of their families, that we would know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah who looks out even over religious leaders and their daughters. I'm thankful for that. That Jesus looks out over even religious leaders and their daughters, since I've got one at UMKC right now, right? So we want more of that resurrection power in our church and our sanctuary and our worship, because the truth is we want it in our lives. Each of you should desire it, and I desire it. And I don't want to leave it here in the church. Like, I don't want to have to think that, oh, I come because that's the only time I can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Like, I want to take it home with me, right? You want to take it to work with you. You want it active in your marriage and helping in your marriage. You want that resurrection power to help you raise your kids. Parents today, y'all have your work cut out for you. It's challenging these days to raise kids. And we want families to come and raise their kids in that power. Don't do it alone. Don't try to do it by your own power. You need to pay close attention to what Jesus did when he channeled his resurrection power into that little girl's dead heart and made it beat again. First of all, verse 49 says, someone walks up to Jairus who is standing next to Jesus and says, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher. Now that was rude. Wasn't that rude? Don't bother me anymore. She's dead. Just let him be. Let him do his thing. Verse 50. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, do not be afraid. Just believe. Believe and she will be healed. Verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him, knowing she was dead. Let me tell you what I see here. What do I see here? I see that Jesus entered the room of the dead girl with the powerhouse. He went in with the powerhouse. He went with Peter, James, John. He invited the girl's parents who were ready for a miracle. Nobody else got to come into the room. Everybody else had to wait outside. Because the room was full of faith. And those who laughed at Jesus were not allowed in because they did not have faith. So if you want to experience resurrection power in your life, then why do you let the scoffers have a seat at the table? Why do you let them have a seat at your table? When you need hope in your life, I hope to God you have a Peter and a James and a John to go to. What if Jesus had invited Peter, James, and John to come to the house with him? What if he walked into the house and then got laughed at and then said, oh, well, now would one of you mind coming with me? I'm going to go in and try to resurrect this little girl. And I need you all to pray with me. Could you come and do that? Right? That's not the story. That's not our story. Because the three people that Jesus was closest to in life was Peter, James, and John. Like, that's who he lived life with. Friends, if you don't have a resurrection team, a resurrection power team, then you need to start putting that together. You need to make that happen. That's hopefully what your Sunday school class is. If you got a Sunday school class, if you got a small group, and I don't know if you have small groups going, but maybe a women's circle, right? That's hopefully your women's circle or men's groups or your faith friends. Hopefully you got some close faith friends. You can call them. You can tell them what's going on. You can tell them you need prayer. When you hit a challenging time, when you hit a crisis, when you hit hardship, when you need hope or you feel like God has called you to do something miraculous, God has called you to raise somebody from the dead, then you're going to be in a tough spot if you're alone. You're in a tough spot if you're alone, or you surround yourself with scoffers. Those people closest to you are not faithful people. Isn't that the story of Job in the Old Testament? If we go Old Testament on this right now, right? Book of Job, believe me, one of the oldest books in the Bible, possibly predates the book of Genesis and when it was written, however that works. The oldest story in the Bible is about a guy whose closest friends made him feel horrible and abandoned by God in his moment of greatest need, in his time of greatest need. Folks, that's not the crew you want with you when you're walking into the valley of the shadow of death. Those aren't the people you want beside you. You want Peter, James, and John to walk into that space and that place with you. And I really do mean to challenge some of you with this. If you can't name three people who you know who are faith power people that would go into that dark place with you, that would pray with you, that would surround you with what you need in that moment, like, let's put that together. In our church, we have, and our size precipitates this, I think, and some of the decline we've experienced. But in our church, we have very established Sunday school classes and some men's groups, and we have our women's circles. But we have not yet as a church entered into a time where we had a growing group movement. And that's what a growing church needs. A growing church needs a growing group movement in order to help folks deepen those types of relationships. And friends, it takes time to develop trust with one another. Those of you that have been in groups for a long time, you know that, right? You've been in your Sunday school class for 15 years or 10 years or 5 years, and you've developed a deepening with that group of people. You've developed trust with that group of people. Our children need that power. Our youth need that power. Our parents need it. Adults who aren't parents need it. And so I'll ask you again today, can you name your Peter, your James, and your John? And if not, if you can't, then I would begin to seek them out, and that would be a source of prayer for me. I would be praying regularly, Lord, help me find a Peter, James, and a John, that I would not have to do hard things alone. Not even Jesus attempted to raise the dead by himself. He did not tap into miraculous power, that resurrection power, on his own. He took a team with him. I firmly believe this. If you can unleash the resurrection power in a church, and in the lives of the believers in that church, then you'll see a resurrection in souls around that church. That's the last thing you'll see, is a resurrection in souls. Souls are hungry for resurrection power. Hungry for hope. Hungry for salvation. And when Jesus came into Jairus' house and he heard everyone crying, he told them to stop. Stop crying. After all, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. She's just asleep. Now, I personally think he probably should have led with, she's dead, but I'm about to bring her back. That's probably what I would have led with, but that's not what he said, is it? Jesus is always gentle and humble. Much more gentle and humble than me. And instead of rolling in there like the great and powerful Oz, guess what I'm getting ready to do, folks? Instead, he instantly tries to comfort them in a much more subtle way. Right? It's okay. It's okay. Stop crying. Everything's fine. I'm going to convince you that she's asleep and not dead. Otherwise, what I'm getting ready to do is probably going to overwhelm you a little bit. And I don't want to freak anybody out here. She's sleeping. But you know how that ends, right? How that doesn't end real well. It's laughter is what happens. So Jesus goes into the little girl's room. He goes with the power team. He takes her by his hand, and he just says this. He says, my child, get up. My child, get up. He unleashes resurrection power. He pulls her spirit from some other realm. He brings it into our realm, places it within her body, and resurrects her. Church, Jesus means to restore lost and disconnected souls. That's his ministry. That's his eternal ministry, restoring lost and disconnected souls. Last week on Easter, I shared a passage from Acts and said that Jesus, it said, hey, we're going to share with everybody, Jesus is the judge. He's the judge in this life and in the next life. And then I shared another passage where Jesus says, I am the gate. Like, in whatever happens next, this is the language that he uses. I am judge. I am the gate. Jesus is the director in the afterlife. And he directs all souls to their proper places. But he desires for that place to be in the eternal company of God, the Father of all. That's his hope. If we can help people come into contact with the risen Jesus, if they would know him, and they've never known the risen Jesus before, watch resurrection power restore their lives and change their lives. Watch it do that work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry of the church. It's your ministry. It's not just my ministry. That's not just to say, I mean, pastors are called to, no. It's all of us. It's all people. This is our ministry. Resurrection power is for souls that need help and a fresh start. In Christ, you can let the old self die in all of its shame and all of its grief, and a new life can form in its place. A new life founded on the hope of resurrection and the power of a resurrected Lord in our lives. Can you imagine a mighty outpouring of God in this place? Can you see it? Resurrection power is miraculous power. It does what you cannot conceive is possible. And so God responds to faithful hearts and faithful prayers. And we're blessed with a great prayer team. We have an amazing prayer team here. I can't take any credit for it. And Marcia is the connection there. If you ever want to utilize the power of our prayer team. But they're working overtime all week long in real time for the prayer needs of this church, right? Friends, we all need, I need prayer team praying, but we all need to pray more fervently that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ will grow in our church, right? In our lives. And that souls will come into contact with this power through us. And that will revive our church and be a wonderful witness to our community. Just like it says 2 Corinthians 5:17, the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling all people to our God and to their God. And so I would ask, would you lift this up in prayer this week? Would you let this be a source of prayer for you? Can you commit to that? Can you pray, Lord, pour out your resurrection power in our church and in me and in souls that are far from you? I want to see that happen, Lord. Let us enter into a new season of ministry within our church. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. And if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, like you've never made that commitment, you've kind of always kept a hand out, not yet, not yet. Today's a great day to not say not yet anymore, but to say yes to Jesus. And we're going to close in a time of prayer. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that this morning. During the silence of this time, you can say, Jesus, this morning, I want to be a new creation. I want to start anew with you. I'm tired of the shame. I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the poor choices. Today I want to start anew. Let's bow our heads. And if that's you, I'll give you just a minute to pray that Christ would come into your life in this moment and redeem what has been lost. Lord Jesus, we thank you for those who have started a new day, who have made a new life in you. And Lord, we pray for us. We pray for those of us that have faith, that we would experience resurrection power in our lives and in our church, that we would see it go out into our community, and that we would know that something fresh started here, something that revived us, and our church started here. We love you, Lord. We are in awe of you, and we just desire to be your disciples. So help us to live faithfully. Help us to live faithfully. Help us to develop greater faith friendships, that we can pray with others and know Scripture and know your word. Lord, help us. Help us to be more faithful. We love you, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. And if we